Yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, joined by the Bible scholar, Charles Leger, a.k.a. Granddaddy. If you're curious, we're just two guys looking to spread love, hope, and joy across the world by sharing with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changed our lives. And we made this podcast so we could specifically show you how it's going to change and impact your life as well. So we aim to take this message across the world, and you can help us do that by going to anchor.fm/unchained. That's anchor.fm/unchained. And from that page, guys, you got three options. The first option is called More Places to Listen. Click it, guys, and then you can listen to us on your favorite podcast station. That helps keep us on the air. Or you can click the button right below that, and you can donate to help keep us alive. You can make a small monthly contribution, or you can leave us a voice message and tell us how this podcast has changed your lives. Thank you, guys. Hey, what up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. Again, no Bible scholar this week. So, again, guys, the saga continues, okay? Please keep him and his family in your prayers. He is a great man among men. He's a great man of God. I love that family. They're going through a lot right now, but he and I both would greatly appreciate your ongoing prayers as they are going through a tough time, having some family issues. So please be with them in spirit. Also, man, we're kicking off episode number 8 of the second season, man. It has actually been flying by. Very thankful and privileged to be able to speak to you guys. I am very thankful for those who have tuned in and who listen on Anchor and Facebook and Instagram. I appreciate all the love and support. Oh, yeah, and YouTube. So very thankful for you guys. I'm super excited about this one, this particular episode. The previous ones, guys, we dealt a lot with. I think the first 3 weeks we really hammered down on faith. Could have been 4. I may have a lost episode somewhere in here. This could be the 9th episode. I don't know. I gotta double check and make sure. That's what happens when you do this stuff by yourself. Yeah, you get behind. But anyway, the first several episodes, guys, we spoke a lot about faith. And how that is the antithesis of fear, right? They oppose each other. However, a conviction of fear and a conviction in faith, they both work the same. So, you know, we wanted to hammer down and make sure that everybody who was tuning in, we wanted to make sure that your faith was increased, because at a time where we're going through a national pandemic, people are losing their lives. We're seeing racial injustice. We're seeing people just going crazy, shooting each other. And it has been a crazy, crazy time. And that kind of stuff can be discouraging, right? Where we live in a world where people are literally acting out of fear, out of their emotions. But the what makes faith so special, guys, is that you don't need a lot. You just need a little. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do great things. You can speak to big things with very little faith, but you just have to have it. And once you see things move by you expressing the little faith you have, guess what? Your faith increases. So if you say to a mountain, be moved, it will be moved, right? There are certain situations you can speak to with absolute faith. Again, doesn't have to be a lot, with just a little, and God will actually come through and answer that prayer because you acted upon something that required faith. And, you know, we learn in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things unseen, guys, which means, and we break it down to a very elementary concept, which means although your situation does not look like what you think it should look like, holding on to the mental picture that you can have in your mind will allow you to still bring that thing to life, to bring that thing into fruition. So that's what the first several weeks were targeted toward. We're making sure that no matter what the world looks like, no matter what your personal situation looks like, your finances, your relationships, every single thing that you can see in the natural, if you can look beyond the natural, and you can see that which is invisible through what God shows you in your mind. Okay, so the faith of what you can see in your mind, if you can hold on to that mental image and you go after it, you apply consistent, efficient action, that thing that you hope for will soon come to pass. It will come to life. Okay, so We then moved on from that to several weeks of personal development, the first of which was actually going back to your first love, right? Going back to where you fell in love with Christ. And if you're new to this podcast, or if you're new to the concept of Jesus Christ, him being your personal Lord and Savior, then if you submit to him right now and you acknowledge him, you know, as your personal Lord and Savior, the fact that he died on the cross, he was buried for 3 days, he rose from the grave, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. If you have made that your belief, guess what? There's a whole new world that opens up to you, because by accepting that means you have now renounced the life that you did know, and you're walking into a new life, right? We talked about how that's important, because it's hard to embark or really experience true greatness until you separate yourself from the world around you, until you separate yourself from what you know to be real, because everything that we see in the natural is limited. Those things which we see in the spiritual are unlimited, right? And as long as you operate in that old lifestyle, it's kind of hard to really grasp the concept of the power that you have living within you. So anything that stands between you and that power is a thing that you have to release or let go of. Okay. Then we moved on to a 3-part series or 4-part series in one episode, where we talked about consecration, which means being 100% totally devoted and sold out to the idea that you are a figment of Christ's mind, like, which means you came out of the mind of God, right? And you are walking around operating and living in the idea, in the mind of God, because everything that we see all started through the mind of God. And you actually come from that mind. And once you submit to that spirit, the spirit of God that is imminent and or preeminent in all things, okay, you are a part of that preeminence. So once you consecrate, sell yourself out to that idea, a whole new realm of power will be opened up to you. Okay. And this means you can start to idealize, which means your identification is that which of the Son of God, which means you can identify with the same power that he has. The idealization means that there are certain types of ideas that God has created, the certain type of swagger that Jesus used to carry when he used to walk around. You are to literally mimic that idealization of who you are in Christ. And then the realization is that once you begin to realize that the same power that raised him from the dead, the same power that was healing the blind, making the lame walk, all those things we saw Jesus Christ do, once you realize that you have that type of power operating within you guys, I promise you, you begin to believe on a whole different level. There's nothing you can't touch or speak to that you will not be able to exemplify that same spirit of power that Christ had, okay? That does not mean you can create solar systems and planets. I'm just saying the way that Christ operated with power and authority to speak over a situation, you have that same ability to speak. In the Bible, he told the disciples before he left, or when he was really teaching them, he said, "You will be able to do even greater works than I have done." So, guys, I want you to understand that that whole series was really about personal development and making sure that there's nothing that you can't through with the Spirit of God living within you, and you actually being connected to that source of power. You guys have heard me talk about that the past couple weeks, but today I got a good one. Today in my prayer time and in my study time, God talked about the cost of entry. So we talked about all those things as far as personal development is concerned. We talked about those things because they're very important in trying to reorganize and trying to restructure your life, trying to figure out what's your purpose, what's your passion, how do we go about it, how do we achieve those things which we see in our mind and we feel in our heart. Those things that we're super compassionate about, what we've covered will actually help you unlock those things, but there is a cost of entry into that life, okay? And that's what we want to talk about today. That's what we want to hammer on. So throughout today's message, I'm going to give you guys several stories, all of which are personal. All of these are personal because I want you guys to understand how powerful it is when you understand that in order to go from one level, you have to put your skin in the game. In order to go from where you are now to where you wish to be, where you desire to be, the things that you want to have, there is a cost of entry. The first story I want to tell you is that there's was when I first moved to Knoxville, okay? So understand, guys, there's a fear of paying for better, okay? And one of the things that happened when I first moved to Knoxville is that I got this nagging urge that I wanted to play sports again. I wanted to get back into playing football. And so there was a minor pro league here in town called the Knoxville Knights, and I wanted to play for this team. However, it had been, a few years since I've put on pads. It had been a few years since I had actually gotten to operate at my best. You know, the last time I put on pads, I was healthy, I was fit, I was in shape. I was playing college ball, and I wanted to get back into the realm of being excellent. Okay. I wanted to get back into this realm of the feeling of, you know, putting pads on and actually challenging the guy across from you. And I wanted to be great, but I want to be great in my own right. However, I was overweight. 2008, I was overweight. I was close to 237 pounds or 236 or something like that. I got real comfortable with overeating, not being able to cut off my portion sizes, eating till I'm stuffed. I had terrible eating habits. I was smoking marijuana. I was drinking. I just had some very terrible habits, and I was destroying my body. But for some reason, I thought that it would be okay if I got off the couch and went and tried for this minor protein without even working out. I thought, I still got it. That's the arrogant part, right? So I get out there and I was quickly humbled by humiliation. We get 10 minutes into the warm up. I'm off to the side, throwing up, puking. I didn't have the stamina that I thought that I had. I didn't have the agility, the quickness. It was a very humiliating experience, but through that, I understood something. I had the desire that I really want to play again. I had this fire that I was not going to be denied. I couldn't leave it undone. And sometimes when people face adversity, they have the tendency to leave things undone because they failed, right? But I don't like to take failure on or accept it as something that, I don't want to get comfortable with the feeling of failure. And if you're one who does not like the taste of defeat, then you understand what I'm talking about. But with that being said, guys, I had literally put myself in a position where I was working out every day at home. I didn't have a gym membership, but I was running outside. I was running sprints down at the high school. I was doing P90X. I was eating better. I had forced myself to stop eating certain snacks, putting certain foods down. I was mentally conditioning myself to step back on the field and actually succeed. So that was the first learning experience for me, because I actually came back several weeks later. I made the team. I was the sixth man on the depth chart, which you guys are going to hear a keynote at some point in time. It's called the six man syndrome. Excited to release that. But anyway, shameless plug. But with that being said, guys, I wanted to be on the field, and I dedicated all my energy and efforts to getting back on the field. And I did. However, I was not at the spot that I wanted to be at. I was on the team, but I was behind all the other guys who had been out there working. I was on the team, but I was behind everyone else. I was on the team, but I still had to work to make myself relevant. So I didn't just stop at making the squad. I put in the continuous work ethic, all the agility stuff that I had to do with the tools that I had, and a lot of it was just grit. I had no trainer. I had no coach. I had nothing to prepare me for stepping back on the field, nothing but the pure desire of wanting to get back and compete with some of the best guys that I'd ever competed with. I was having to compete with guys who were 6-7 years younger and were out there working, and they were collegiate athletes, and they were, XFL athletes and old NFL athletes, and they were athletic and they were strong. And so I had to compete with that. And long story short, guys, I worked myself to the number one spot on that squad. And I held it for the years that I played with that team. And so I made it a thing that if I was going to continue, that I couldn't stop working. I didn't let up. And my desire and my passion, it got, more driven. And I worked harder. And for every team that I played with, I always got the starting spot. For every team that I played with, I got the starting spot. Not because I thought that I was that much better, but I refused to let anybody outwork me. And so the sacrifice in that moment, the moral of that story is, guys, the cost of getting better was I had to sacrifice my comfort. I had to sacrifice what was comfortable. I had to sacrifice what I knew. I had to sacrifice those things in which I believe were beneficial. I had to sacrifice those things that I wanted to have in my personal lifestyle. So, you know, the drinking, the smoking, the eating out three times a day, like all that stuff I had to sacrifice in order to be better and to get that starting spot, right? So that's the first story. And so the second story is I want to tell you guys very quickly about a point in time in my business. I've been in business like maybe 3 years at this point. But I was taking an L on every level as it pertains to business. So if you guys don't know what I do business wise, you know, I'm a health and nutrition coach. I classify myself as a transformation specialist, not because, you know, not just because I'm great at what I do on the physical part, but we do a whole series and set of mind coaching that enables a person to actually achieve the health and fitness part that they want to achieve. Right. So there was a point in time where I was very young in my career and or with my business, and I hit a wall. And I mean, I was losing clients left and right. My monthly income had dropped to almost about $2,500, and I started to panic. I started to worry. I got desperate at what it took to make money. So I was making all kinds of weird programs, trying to figure out what would work, what wouldn't, who was going to bite on this ad or that ad. But there was no real sustenance behind what I was doing. And I remember that when I was very young on Instagram, I remember seeing this ad by this company called Fitpreneurs. And it was owned by this guy who was a very successful person in the fitness industry. He had become a millionaire through his brand. Now, he had multiple streams of income, of course. You know, you're not necessarily going to be a millionaire based off just personal training. Now, unless you're just real great and you get some very high paying clients, it's not likely that you're going to become a millionaire just by personal training alone. But with that said, I remember him telling me about him actually taking the last of his money and going to see Tony Robbins. Okay. And I remember him telling me how, you know, he's about 55, 60 grand in debt. He maxed out all of his credit cards, pulled out all the cash reserves he has to go see Tony Robbins because he believed in what was going to happen that weekend. Okay. Again, it's this faith concept thing. The other thing that was very interesting was that at this point in time, I mean, I was super depressed. I was upset with myself. I wasn't successful. I was getting a lot of verbal backlash from the missus at that point, being called names. I was already down. It was just a rough spot, you know, a very rough spot. And I remember I had only had like $225 to my name. I wasn't bringing in any additional income. I wasn't selling any programs. There was nothing happening, nothing. And I had this conversation with this guy. And of course, the phone call was like $1,200 just for the phone call. So I mentioned the guy and I told him, like, look, I only got $225 to my name. You can have it all. Just whatever time that will pay for, that's what I want. So initially he told me he was going to give me 15 minutes. I was like, you know what? You're in my arena. You're making a ton of money and you started where I started. Teach me whatever it is, okay? And I paid for this phone call. It's $225. And he ended up giving me 30 extra minutes. So it was a 45-minute phone call. And I remember going through him, like, the process of my business. I remember talking to him about, you know, what I did, what I was great at. I remember laying out to him the structure. He was very forthcoming, very direct. And he told me, you know, Keelan, you have a great business model. I can see you truly care about your clients. I can see that you truly take time in what you do. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't go through the amount of work that you go through in order for them to get results. So I see how you're frustrated and I see why you're tired, you know, and he said, but although you have a great product, he said, no one is going to believe in what you sell unless you believe it first. And it caught me off guard because I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you have a great product, but you can tell by what you charge that you don't really think it's that great. Because if you're coming to me telling me how great your product is and you tell me how much it can change my life, but I'm only paying a few $100 for it, and this is going to create long lasting change and a mindset. He said, the fact that you're only charging X amount of dollars per month, he said, that's the reason why you're not making any money, because it's obvious to the person, especially if you're dealing with the type of clients that you deal with. You know, he was like, if you're dealing with these kinds of clients, but you're only charging them that much, to them, you don't really believe in your product. And they're only going to take it as serious as much as you're willing to charge. And he told me that I should not be charging any less than $1,200 per person. Blew my mind away. And the reason why it blew me away, guys, is because where I come from, I can't afford it. I come from that costs too much. I come from that's too much money. I come from let's get the cheaper one. That's where I come from. And I understand like there's nothing wrong with starting there, but you can't stay there. And so what I learned from him in this phone call, it blew my mind. Basically, he was telling me that you got to think bigger and better of yourself so you can get more out of what you're passionate about. You're going the extra mile to help these people, but you're not charging what it's worth or what it could be worth. You know, and it put me into tears, not because I was upset, but because, you know, God was challenging me in such a way that he was showing me that the cost to get better and to create and generate the income that I want in order to make that happen, the cost was going to be higher, you know, not necessarily just for my clients, because my clients are used to paying for something mediocre to get mediocre results and something that they really don't want to stick to. So in order for them to get the best results, they were going to have to pay more. And in order for me to get the best results in my business, I was going to have to do more. So I took my last to pay for a conversation that took me to another level of business. You can fact this up with my mom. I sent her the screenshots of what I was making, everything. I still have them, and I still generate very great income. Don't get me wrong. I still make in the upper 90s up to six figures per year, guys. So it's not rocket science. It's not magic, okay? It's just a level of belief that if you want to go from one part of life to another part of life, the cost of entry means you got to put skin in the game. The cost of entry means you have to relinquish a little mindedness and take a step up to that next level. So I said all that because the cost of me getting that information that was taking me to $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $11,000 per month cost me $225. It cost me everything that I had saved to the side. Most people would have put that in their gas tank. They would have bought groceries. They would have bought the minuscule stuff and would not have jumped out or stepped out on that type of faith in order to grow exponentially like I did within very little time. Like this wasn't something that took me a long time. Like I had this conversation with this guy in October. I started making, you know, close to five figures by January. It was insane. Actually, no. That January, I did make five figures after that. So I was taking, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 leaps in a short amount of time. It was not magic, guys. It was the level of belief that I had to, for one, pay the cost of entry for that level of information, two, put in the work to actually make their information relevant. I mean, guys, I was literally locking myself in the office 4, 5, 6 hours at a time, putting more into what I'd already did, making it better, streamlining the information, doing everything that I knew to do to provide more service. So although the people were paying, you know, $2,000, $3,000 for whatever it was that I was giving to them, per the program that they selected, although they were giving me that, I was giving them about $10,000 to $12,000 worth of content and information and service. So I gave them way more than what I was charging. But in return, God gave me more because I was given more, right? The Bible says that, you know, give and it shall be given in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. So the more you pour into people, the more people give back to you. That is the law of the Bible. It has not failed me to this day. So understand, guys, that anywhere you are in life, whatever you are seeking from your business, whatever you are seeking from your job, whatever you are seeking from the one you love, whatever you are seeking from the relationship, whatever you want from what you're connected to, you must put that in order for that to reciprocate. Okay? If you latch onto it and try to take all that you can take from it, you're going to end up empty in the long run. That's not how reciprocity works. You don't require something, then you offer what you give in return. That's not how that works. If I approach my business with a mindset that I want to take from the people that I want, that I want to come aboard, then I'll give them something, which means if I want them, yo, just give me money and then I'll give you whatever it is. Yo, that's not how that works. The most successful corporations and businesses, they operate with this in mind, and that is, I need to give, 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 give. And when I do that, a person will reciprocate. I give without the expectation of anybody else giving back to me. Okay, so let's make this plain. I don't ask anybody to fund this podcast at the moment. I do this podcast for free. Okay, I fundraise myself. I don't ask anybody for a dime. I put my own money in on this podcast to keep it going. I give this to you. I enjoy pouring into people. I give, I give, I give. And the best thing I can get in return is somebody believing in the content that I give. Okay, so I said all that because I wanted to set this up in such a way that this is relevant to you. I'm not here to talk business. So now I can finally get into the podcast. I can finally get into the scripture. All right. So I won't keep you long, I promise. But I do want to share these two little nuggets with you. Both of these come out of Luke chapter 9. Okay. Both of these come out of Luke chapter 9. And the content that I'm going to give you is Luke 9, 23 through 25. And then the other content I'm going to give you is Luke, again, same chapter, 9. Verse 57 through 62. Luke 9, 57 through 62, okay? These are the two pieces of content that I'm going to give you because these are very, these two pieces of content, this text, opened my eyes because there's something that I believe God wants to do in my life. There's something I'm believing in Him for. It will not be granted to me unless I am willing to pay the cost of entry. Same thing with you guys, those of you who are listening. Whatever you want, best, more, or better out of, will not relinquish itself to you until you're willing to give. There's a cost to entry. Okay, so Luke 9, verse 23. Hold on, before we do that, let me pray very quickly. Dear Spirit of the Living God, I pray that this word falls fresh upon those who are listening. I pray that this word gives birth to life, birth to faith, birth to action, Father God. And I pray that this seed goes out throughout the ears, hearts, and minds of the listeners, and that it multiplies itself, that it brings in a person upon a person upon a person that leads back to you, Father. I just want to turn heart, souls, and minds toward you with the message that you have given me today. I praise your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Guys, we just talked about this. There is a cost of entry to better. Okay, and there are people, I assure you, who probably were looking at what was going on in Luke chapter 9, and they were very intrigued and enamored by what they had saw Jesus, the Lord God, doing. When they saw Jesus and the disciples operating at such a high level under the power and influence of the Holy Ghost, to be on the outside looking in, I would be like, man, this seems cool. Like this is powerful stuff. I see what he's doing. And even with what he's doing, his disciples are doing it too. So the question becomes, if I'm on the outside looking in, you know, or if I'm just trying to study this text and trying to give light to it, the question is why would or did people want to follow Jesus? And the answer is simple. He was powerful. People saw what he was doing. People saw how he had laid hands on people, or he was speaking to people, and how he was changing lives just by a touch or just a word. People were instantaneously healed, like lame were walking, deaf were hearing, blind eyes were seeing. There were things that were happening that were uncommon. And Jesus was speaking to these people about him being rooted and connected through the source of power, which was God the Father. And people were witnessing Jesus doing what the Father was doing. They were connected. They were doing things together in unison. And then again, like I said, guys, not to mention that they had saw and heard the disciples doing the same thing. The disciples had gone through towns. They didn't take anything with them. Just the word of God, just the faith that they could do the exact same thing that Jesus was doing. And they began going out through towns, healing people, restoring people. They were able to do that. And they were doing that under the power and influence under the Holy Spirit. And those who are on the outside looking in, like, man, I want that. And Jesus says, look, if you're going to do this, If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Okay, so let's break this down. Because again, like I said, if you want things to continue to happen the way that they're happening right now, if you want things to keep going the way that they're going, then keep doing what you're doing. But he says, if you're going to follow me, there are two things that are required. One, pick up your cross daily. Two, follow me. Pick up your cross daily. Two, follow me. I'm going to say that again. Pick up your cross daily. Two, follow me. So, in other words, he asked them to be obedient and to sacrifice your own way of living. This is the way to follow me. Once you give up your comfort level, once you sacrifice what you think is right, once you sacrifice your way of living, once you sacrifice gluttony, once you sacrifice greed, once you sacrifice pride, once you sacrifice your unforgiveness, once you sacrifice those things, then follow me. Because if you don't, they're going to stand in the way of what I can do through you. Okay, so let's open up. Let's shine some light on this cross thing, because he had not yet hung on the cross. This is the kind he had not yet hung on the cross at this point. So the cross now is symbolic to problems or burdens. Now, we all know that Jesus talked figuratively then, and I believe he meant that the same way. OK, take up your cross and follow me. Take it up daily, he says. So then we have to understand that the cross was used for criminals. OK, it was a criminal's death. Criminals were punished by death of crucifixion to be made an example of to others. So Christ is telling us, you know, if you pick up this thing, okay, he's saying take it up daily. Your problems, your burdens, pick them up daily and follow me. But I don't want you guys to get it twisted to think that he's telling you that you have to pick up something that a criminal does and die your criminal's death. I just wanted to explain the difference between the two. The figurative way in which we are learning, which is what the Bible talks about, picking up your cross, your problems and your burdens, pick those up and follow me. And I'm going to understand. I'm going to explain to you why here in a minute. But you're not a criminal. OK, so you're not going to cry, die a criminal's death unless you want to. OK, so in verse 24, I want you to understand the pun is the word hang. OK, the pun is the word hang in verse 24. If you try to hang onto your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You understand? I want you guys to hear this. The pun is hang. So why is Jesus giving them this command? Sorry about that. Why is Jesus giving them like this command? He says, because I never asked you to hang on your cross. I asked you to pick it up and follow me. I don't want you to hang on your cross. I want you to pick it up. I want you to follow me. You understand? There's a difference. He didn't say, I want you to hang on your cross daily. I want you to pick it up and I want you to follow me. But if I'm not, I guess the question would be like, if I'm not hanging on it, then why am I picking it up? What is the purpose of picking up something I'm supposed to hang on, not to hang on it? That's easy. I'm going to answer that question. Matthew 11:28, he says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I just explained to you that the metaphoric cross were for heavy burdens or problems. Matthew 11:28 explains, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So guys, I want you to understand that the cross in which you are to carry, you're not supposed to carry it long term, because there are a lot of crosses I believe that we carry. And I'm going to explain that to you. But Jesus says, bring them to me. Bring them to me and I will give you rest. I don't want you to carry it like I'm carrying my cross of Golgotha. I don't want you to carry it like that. You understand? He says, bring them to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Okay? I'm going to be your Simon. I'm going to give you rest. Okay? Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. But the figurative cross in which we're speaking, he says your cross is the burden of unforgiveness. Your cross is the burden of malice and contempt. Your cross is jealousy. Your cross is relationships. Your cross is having to watch a loved one fade away right before your very eyes. Your cross is the special needs child whom which only God chose you to take care of. Your cross is the teenage pregnancy. Your cross is operating at a low level of life and you don't feel content with where you are. Like, there are tons of crosses in which we carry daily. He says, pick them up daily, but I don't want you to hang on them. Jesus says, pick it up, bring it to me, because if you don't, you'll die hanging on what I've asked you to bring to me. I didn't ask you to hang on those problems. I didn't ask you to hang on unforgiveness. I didn't ask you to hang yourself on malice and contempt. I didn't ask you to hang yourself on jealousy or relationships or the death of a loved one. I didn't ask you to hang on the teenage pregnancy. I didn't ask you to hang on the infidelity. I didn't ask you to hang on your addictions. I didn't ask you to hang on those. I asked you to bring them to me, because if you don't, you're going to sit there and hang on what I've asked you to bring to me for me to give you rest. Verse 25, he says, if you let go of your life for my sake, you will find it. You will find a new life when you bring me the thing that I told you to pick up. Don't sit up there and think that you can fix this by yourself. You can't fix it by yourself. You can't give yourself rest. But if you come to me, if you bring me the cross, look, I can give you rest. If you bring me that burden, if you bring me that problem, if you bring me that, I can give you rest where you need it the most. But if you hang on to your life, you're going to take your own life. If you hold on to your life, you're going to die hanging on what I ask you to bring to me. So in other words, Jesus said, I never meant for you to waste your life on the things that will take your life. The thing that is killing you, the thing that is making you unproductive, that is breaking your heart, is something that you should have given to God a long time ago. It is not uncommon for us to go to church and praise and worship and raise our hands up and be emotionally attached to the experience of Christ, only to leave out of the building and pick up the very burden that we said we laid down, the very thing that we said that we dropped at the altar. It is not uncommon for us to do that, but why keep doing it? Jesus says, bring me those things and I will give you rest. Bring me that in which you keep picking up. Bring me that in which you refuse to lay down. If you give it to me, I can give you freedom. If you bring it to me, I can give you rest. If you bring it to me, then I can give you peace. Just bring them to me. Okay? So the question becomes, are you willing to part with where you are to become who you could be? Are you willing to part with where you are to become who you could be? Now, everybody has experienced this kind of person, or you live with this kind of person, or you're connected to this kind of person. That person being that they love staying in a situation that is tiring, that is draining, that is backbreaking, that is emotionally draining, that is hurtful. They love being in that situation because it gives them something to complain about. You don't want better, because if you want it better, you would change the atmosphere. If you want it better, you would change the situation. If you want it better, you will hold yourself to a higher regard and distance yourself from that thing which is breaking you. You would make the effort to get better. Getting better requires action. The cost of entry is being willing to part with where you are in life right now to become the person God is calling you to be. That's why most people like calling their girlfriends and complaining about their relationships, because they really don't want better. So what I mean by that is, if you want it better, if you felt like this person or the job that you're at or the situation you're in, if you felt like that wasn't fulfilling you to the point where you would like to be fulfilled, if you feel like you deserved more, if you feel like you wanted more from that job, then you would make the sacrifice to fill out the other applications. You will make the sacrifice to increase your knowledge and actually go for a job that would pay you what, well, I'm not going to say that because I don't believe any job really pays anybody what they're worth, but you can work at a place that will pay you more for the value that you bring to the table. See, most people, they want without giving. They want to take all, they want to take it all in without giving. And this type of person cannot be, they can't grow to the person they could be because they're not willing to part from the person they are now. They love the situation they're in. It gives them something to feed off of. It gives them energy. Even though they cry about it, even though they're upset about it, even though it makes them mad, even though they lose sleep over it, it gives them energy to stay in this situation because it gives them a sense of purpose. Their only purpose is to gripe and complain. So ask yourself, are you willing to part with where you are to be the person you could be? Here's another question for you. Can you part with your burdens to pick up better? Are you willing to part with the unforgiveness, the hatred, the bitterness, the gluttony, the greed, the jealousy? Are you willing to part with those burdens to pick up better? Because you cannot house the Spirit of God and, well, put it this way, you can house it, but you can't operate in flesh and spirit at the same time. It is the spirit which causes a person to act or the flesh that causes a person to act. Right? So every great act or every fleshly act is first preceded with a great or fleshly thought. So the only way to part from that is to put down the burden. Are you willing to part with the burden? Are you willing to part with the hurdle, the hindrances to become better? Are you willing to part with those to step up to a level where Christ is calling you to be? Okay, so now I want you guys to follow me down to Luke. Okay, so verse 57. We're still in chapter 9, but verse 57. It says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. He said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, guys, I do want to break this down before we get out of here. This is super important. This is super important. I want you guys to understand that in this portion of the text, you'll find that the power of the text is in the butt. Not the B-U-T-T is in the butt, the B-U-T. Okay, you'll notice butt mentioned several times in here. Jesus challenges their butt with his butt. And you and I both know who has a bigger butt. Jesus got the bigger butt, right? All right, I'm gonna stop being silly, but yeah, that's my butt. So what do I mean? Every claim to follow Jesus or a given excuse was met with a mandate. A mandate is a commission or course of action to do something. Okay? So where they're asking to follow Jesus, he gives a mandate. Or he tells them something about what it's going to cost to follow him. One guy said, Jesus, I'll go where you go wherever you go. He said, okay, but you're going to be homeless. You can follow me if you want to, but I have nowhere to lay my head. Another person said, you know, he said to another person, come follow me. And dude was like, yo, I'll go with you, but let me go home and bury my father. Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Okay, you guys notice the trend. Every time Jesus said something, there was a but added to it. So, or if somebody told him something, there was a but added to it. They say, yes, I will follow you, but. If you're going to follow Christ, if you're going to pay the cost of entry, you cannot pay the cost of entry with a but added to it. I can, but I will, but I want to go to church, but I want to change my life, but I want to stop drinking, but I want to stop smoking, but there can be no buts when it comes to the sacrifice. Again, Be obedient. The submission to the will of God. It cannot have any buts. The submission to follow Christ entirely and fully, it can't have any buts. If you're going to follow me, Christ says, you got to willing to be homeless. You got to be willing to sleep and eat when you can. You got to be willing to give up your comfort. Now, the 12 disciples were not perfect, but they left their comfort. They were obedient to the request to follow. And they sacrificed their comfort zone in order to do it. So no, the disciples weren't perfect. Jesus did not go and find perfect people to follow him. He went and found people who were willing to be obedient and who were willing to sacrifice their level of comfort to follow him. He said to another person, the man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home to bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. I understand you want to go back to bury your father. Your father's spiritually dead, though. And sometimes when you deal with someone or people who are spiritually dead, they have the tendency to rub off on you. Because they're spiritually dead, they want you to be spiritually dead. Because they don't believe in the power of Jesus, they don't want you to believe in the power of Jesus. Because they don't believe in the Holy Ghost, they don't want you believing in the Holy Ghost. Because they're not willing to accept that that Christ is King, and he's the King of all kings, the Lord of lords, the creator and maker of heavens and earth. They don't believe it, so they don't want you to believe it. They're unwilling to accept that there is something greater than themselves. They're unwilling to accept that there was no Big Bang and humans were not created from monkeys. They're not willing to accept that. But I promise you, if you keep going, trying to say goodbye to those people and try to say your last goodbyes to that lifestyle, you're trying to leave that person, but you want to have sex with that person before you head out. You want to leave that group of friends, but you want to go and drink with that group of friends before you say goodbye. Jesus says, let the spiritually dead bury their own spiritually dead. You cannot save someone who does not believe. You can only point them in a direction. You can show them me. You can give them the gospel. You can tell them the word. You can plant the seed, but you cannot save them. You follow. Another man said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, there are some people you are really, really close to, family members, friends. If you stop doing the work of God to go back and try to pull, they'll drown you. You will end up losing yourself sometimes trying to save somebody else. I am not saying that you should not turn around and help those that need to hear the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. We're called to go and teach and preach the gospel, to go to the utter ends of the earth and put the name of Christ in the ears of those who have never heard his name. We're called to go and be that which Christ was for us. So that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is when you continue to return to that which you come from, trying to convert that which does not want to be converted, you will find yourself back with the people you left. You will find yourself back in the situation that you left. You will find yourself catering to that which you've tried so hard to escape from. It is not that easy to go back and continue to pour yourself and pour yourself and pour yourself, because again, we're talking about reciprocity, and some people will never reciprocate what you're pouring into them. They will only take, they will accept, you know, they'll accept the charity. They'll accept the money. They'll accept the free food. They'll accept the free meals at church. They'll accept the praise and worship, but they will not get off the couch and go in to help push forward the kingdom for God's cause. They will not do it. Okay? They won't do it. So you have to be careful, because some of those which you think are family will scoff you because of what you follow, or who you follow, I should say. They will scoff at you, make fun of you because of what you believe. They will scoff at you because you want to give yourself in the best possible way to advance the kingdom of God, because you're willing to pay the cost of entry to go to the next level. And some people are not willing to make that same sacrifice. They're not willing to put their hand to the plow. They're not willing to lay down their comfort in order to be obedient and to sacrifice for that which saved them. They're not willing to do it. Most people are just willing to take. And you got to be careful about that, whom you connect yourself to, because they'll pull you down. They'll pull you backward. So Jesus is saying you have to be careful about going back. Because if you put your hand to this plow while you're trying to plow, you're going to draw crooked lines. If you keep turning around while you're supposed to be going forward, you're going to draw crooked lines. If you keep looking behind you, trying to check on those who don't want to be changed, you're going to draw a crooked line. You're going to go off the path. Plows were meant to dig in the dirt so you can actually plant seed. And if you turn your head, your plow will shift to the left or the right. This is why when you run track, they tell you don't look left, don't look right, look straight ahead. This is why they say when you drive, try your best to keep your eyes forward. Because when you turn your head or you cut your eyes in a certain direction, your body or the car that you're driving will shift in the direction in which you've turned your head. You follow? So he's saying, be careful about turning around. Because if you're going full speed ahead, if you're going down a straight line, if you're running full speed, if you turn around, you're going to ultimately stop or you're going to trip yourself. You're going to get caught up in the things that you were supposed to leave behind. You'll get caught up. The Bible says, press toward the things which are in front of you. Those things are in the past. Yo, leave them behind. There's a reason why God removed them. Why do we continue to weep for what God has removed? You can't continue to cry over what you've lost. Those who have chosen to walk away from you, at some point, you've got to learn to stop crying over that. At some point, you've got to stand on a level that is above that. Not that you're better than other people, but you give them more time, energy, and control than you do giving your time and energy to God. So looking behind yourself will cost you your life. Okay, this is what we're talking about at the beginning. These things that you're looking behind, behind to try to go and fix, those burdens, those problems you're supposed to set down. I believe in my spirit, this was given to me as the same story, just told two different ways. Right? Trying to go behind to correct something will only keep you in the past. Right? You will stay in the past if you choose not to put your burdens down. You will stay in the past if you choose not to let go of those problems and those things that are weighing you down. Christ says, give those to me so that I can give you rest. Because that's the only way you'll be able to follow me. And you can't follow me if you're always turning around staring at the burden. You feel me? So I'm going to give you three steps before we get out of here, because God was very specific in what it took to follow him. He was very specific in what it takes to be to operate under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the cost of entry to a better life. He's given you the cost of entry to a great life. He's given you the cost of entry to better your business, to better your finances, to better your relationships with people. The cost of entry means be obedient to what is required and to sacrifice what is comfortable. Anytime you want to take yourself or business or anything to the next level, you have to get uncomfortable. If it were easy to make $1 million from your couch, everybody would do it. Most millionaires get to live life on their own terms because they put in 10, 15, 20 years of work to be able to enjoy, right? To be able to enjoy it. There's no such thing as an overnight success. And if there were, I would be cautious, because what is easily given can leave just as quickly. You feel me? So here are the steps that God put in my spirit to give to you, for you to elevate not only your thinking, but to elevate yourself, your relationships, your money, whatever it is. Apply this to any arena, because this is evident. This is in the Word of God. Apply it to any arena of your life and watch what he does for you. He will exponentially grow you. He does it in my own life. Okay. So step number one, submit to the Spirit of God, meaning be obedient and yield to Him, and then sacrifice your ways for His. Okay? That's step number one. Submit, be obedient, sacrifice. Submit, be obedient, sacrifice. Okay? That's step number one. Step number two, let go of your burdens. Okay? Leave the past in the past. Then let go or die by them. You feel me? Let go of your burdens. Leave the past in the past. We don't want to die hanging on something we should have let go of. Let go of your burdens. Leave the past in the past. Let go of the unforgiveness. Let go of the bitterness. Let go of the strife. Let go of the contempt. Let go of the jealousy. Let go of the anger, the malice. Let it go. Leave the past in the past. Don't keep bringing your past up into your current situation. Because every time you bring your past up into the current situation, it takes you right back to the past. Let it go. Let go of your burdens. Leave the past in the past. Number three, no excuses. Get rid of the buts. Okay? You cannot go back to your old life. No excuses, no buts. I'm going to say it again. No excuses, no buts. Either you want this new life that God has for you or you don't. Either you want to make the changes or you don't. It is not instantaneous. God will bless the action that you put forth. He will bless the action that you put forth. No action, no change. There's no excuse for you not having better. There's no excuse. There's no difference between you and a billionaire. Those of you who are listening who are not billionaires, there's no difference. They didn't make excuses. They just made action. You feel me? There's no difference between you and the millionaires in the world, given that there are no millionaires on this call or on this podcast or listening. They just did the action. This is why those who have lost everything they had multiple times, we see where millionaires have gone bankrupt. And guess what? They made another million. They're back to being a millionaire. Why? Because they know how to do it. They've put forth the action. Everything worth having comes at a cost. Okay? There are no buts. You cannot be great with buts. Because when you use a but, that means you're about to offer an excuse. Yeah, I love you, but I can, but I want to believe you, but I want to work on that, but you have to leave your buts out of the conversation. There are no rooms that I mean, there is no room for but on your march to greatness. There isn't. Okay. So I hope what I share with you guys, I hope that gave you some enlightenment. I hope that rejuvenated you. And I hope that helps shine light on what we've been doing. Because my whole mission, guys, I just pray that what I've been sharing with you guys is really digging in deep. And, you know, and I pray that it is actually causing you guys to put forth some actual steps. Because it is monumental to me that you guys are actually going to, it would be monumental to me. Sorry, I said that wrong. I want you guys to not only just hear what I'm putting out there, but I want this to be practical teaching that you can apply. I want you guys to be able to use what I'm sharing, because this is all biblical principle. I don't make this up. I pray about it. I meditate on it. I study it. I take notes, and then I feed them to you. But I do want what I've been sharing with you guys to actually give life to you. I want nothing more than that. Than for you guys to have exponential life. I want God to increase you. I want Him to bless you. I want Him to heal you. I want Him to save you. I want Him to grow you. I want Him to comfort you. Whatever it is, I want God to be all that you need. And I pray that comes through what I share with you guys. So again, I'll see you guys next week. Be ready for episode 9. It's going to be a great one. I love you guys. Peace out. Have a happy Sunday.